And hello, everybody. Welcome to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. I am the G-Man. That is Deb on the other end. And we are here coming at you live Thursday night. Oh, wow. Email. You have mail. No, I am mail.
Oh, God. Stop.
Let me turn this email off. Here we go. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. Want to thank you for, you know, joining in with us, watching us live. Remember, you can always go over to the regular YouTube page, hit the subscribe, like, bell notification, do all the little finger click-a-licking, and you can see us every Thursday. I mean, how could you not want to see this?
Jesus Christ. let me adjust my screen.
Let me just turn my screen off.
Oh, I need a wig. You know what? I should have a background like you have, so our backgrounds will match, and then people will think we're actually sitting together.
I can send you this.
What is it?
It's just a picture.
Oh, it's not a banner behind you. It's actually just like a green screen thing.
Yeah, cool. Just like put a screen up on your background. And But I can do that to you. I can send it to you.
I didn't mean right now, but.
Oh, not right now. Okay. Sorry.
Whatever. So,
all right. So what's going on? Paranormal wise. I've been watching a lot of paranormal shows on Discovery Plus.
Really?
And yeah. And I mean, I went down the Taps rabbit hole, like deep.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Season one to like, I'm in season seven now. Mm-hmm. I had to take a break because I was dreaming about Taps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, we got to stop that. And I started thinking, well, what else can I watch? So I watched Ghost Brothers, the first two seasons of those guys. Love those guys. Them guys are hilarious. They get out on the investigation and they get scared and they tinkle a little, and it's pretty epic, right? And then I ran out of that, and then I thought, well, what other channels can I watch paranormal stuff on? And I came to Discovery Plus, and they have all of it on there. I didn't realize that Jack Osborne, Ozzy's kid.
Yeah, I love Jack.
I didn't realize that he was that into the paranormal. I mean, I've seen him do couple shows here and there. But
he's had hardcore, man.
Yeah, three different shows on travel before.
I love the show that he does. It's called The Osbournes Want to Believe. I can't remember. I love that show. Ozzy's hysterical. And Sharon is, you know, open-minded, but I sometimes lean more skeptical than Ozzy. Everything is a ball lightning to Ozzy. It's hysterical. Yeah. But Jack is hardcore. I love him. I follow him on all the social media platforms.
Do you really?
Yeah. I love him. He's legitimate. I mean, he's not doing this. He's not doing this, you know, just
for show.
He has a passion for it.
Yeah.
He really went back to the UK to the house that they used to live in because he always felt like it was haunted when he was a kid. So he went back there and did an investigation there.
Did he find anything?
I watched the show, but I cannot remember.
You know? So I'm watching the one that he did with his female investigator buddy. Mm-hmm. They've been to three or four different places. They ended up at Mackey's.
Did they go to Bobby Mackey's?
Yeah, and they're doing investigation there. Now, I will say that I was kind of disappointed in the outcome. Well, I mean, I take that back. I was surprised in the outcome of what they found while they were there.
Mm-hmm.
because when you and I and Marnie and Crystal from NKYPS went, we didn't have anything out of the ordinary really that would say for, you know, us to come back and go, oh my God, it's the portal to hell. Oh my God, it was so terrifying. It was so, it was nothing like that at all.
Not at all.
I mean,
I'm like, what? Why does everyone say this place is so evil? I feel nothing.
Right. And I mean, we got some EVPs and we got some weird, creepy things when we went to the toilets and, you know, doors opening, people, you know, ghosts watching us. We caught, remember the picture that you got over the bar towards the end of the bar to the right? And there was like a room that went back behind that bar area right there. And you got like a dark figure.
Yes, I remember that.
In that, the story behind that, and the girls that were there with us that did the tour, Angela and Laura, do you remember them at all?
I remember that they were there, but it's
yeah. Well, Laura was the tour guide for Jack. And this is another investigator, right? And okay, Angela was there as well a little bit. But they told a story. There was two guys back in the 40s that got into a bar fight, started in the bathroom, and moved its way out to that particular area where the big 4x4 beam was at the end of the bar. Mm-hmm. And that's where your picture showed that black figure. Well, apparently this guy got jacked so hard that when he fell over, there was a radiator at the end of the bar at the time.
Oh no.
Smacked his head on the bar, on the radiator.
Oh,
and
no.
Died on the floor.
Oh no.
At that spot. So, and it hit me too when you got that picture in that spot.
Yeah.
And they were telling the story. It all kind of tied in together. And I was like, holy crap. We got that evidence.
Yeah, we did. That's
you know,
that's cool.
One other thing that they were talking about, the kid that was working for Mackie, that supposedly got all jacked up from the spirit. They say that his spirit is still there and in that same location, but where the door swings to go into the behind the bar. Someone caught a picture of an image that looks just like him when he was alive. So they're trying to say that he's still there. But yeah, I mean, they went there and they got a lot of ominous, weird stuff. And like 2 days after the investigation, Jack and the other girl ended up having to go to the ER. So Jack is in LA. The other girl is in like Pennsylvania. On the same night, they went to the ER.
Damn.
Cross country. And Jack was telling this story about on an investigation that he went to, and I can't remember where he said it was, but I guess he has MS.
Oh yeah. 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 I knew that.
It caused him to go blind in one of his eyes. And he went on this investigation. And while on this investigation, lost vision in both eyes at that time for like a couple of days.
Damn.
And he said it felt like he was having problems with his eyesight after Mackie's again. And I don't know how long ago they filmed this, but they had Bishop James Long on the show. And he's passed away 3 or 4 years now, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And he told him, he's like, don't go in there and messing around. It's all demonic hauntings and entities, and you don't want any part of that.
And Bobby Mackie?
Bad juju, yeah. And I'm like,
either we're immune to that or that's not.
I had none of that. You had none of that. Marnie, Crystal, none of them had any of that.
That's wild.
We did have weird things happen, but it was nothing. And, you know, that bothers me a little bit with things that are going on in the paranormal where all of a sudden everybody, and it seems like it started off, it ramped up like a snowball.
Yeah.
It used to not be that prevalent in people telling you know, their stories that, oh my gosh, it's it's demonic.
I mean, everybody throws the D word around a lot, and I think a lot of people don't even have any idea what that actually means.
No, they just, I think they're wishful thinking.
I don't know.
You don't want that smoke.
Whatever what you wish for, you might get it. You know.
You don't want that smoke. Come on, shut up. Yeah, I don't understand people, but I mean, it was even there was a house or two that Jason and Tango and Steve put a show together called Haunted Nation, and it's just the three of them in a crew. And what they basically did is at different Paracons, investigators would come to them, or they would have their friends reach out to them and say, hey, look, we're in over our head on this. Can you guys come take a look at it? Well, they would go, and the three of them and the crew would go investigate. And they've done three or four in like Georgia. There was one house that was really cool that had the banister of Andrew Jackson, I think it was. No, Andrew Jackson wasn't the Civil War, was he? He was like 1776 war.
I don't
know. Whoever, a big time Confederate soldier, his son had fell off of this banister. And for some reason, they made banisters only like thigh high back then. But whoever was rebuilding this house, who was a direct descendant of Pocahontas.
What? That came out of nowhere.
What? That's what I said. I was like, wait, I was working. I was typing away. And then you're like, oh yeah, we're, you know, direct descendants of Pocahontas. What you talking about, Willis? And, but when they're building this house, they, I don't know, use it like a scrap heap, or they had different parts from different places. And the banister, the original banister that his kid fell over, was actually that banister. And I was like, how in the hell do you find these places?
That is wild. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus, I want to go. How come Jason Hawes, if you ever see this, why aren't we friends and why aren't you taking me with you?
Yeah, right.
I will volunteer my services to TAPS or Haunted Nation or even YouTube.com / at Jason Hawes. I'm just saying, I'm pimping myself out.
I am the antenna. Okay.
So Deb and I are pimping ourselves out.
That's right. I'm the antenna, okay? I'm the one I catch. It's like they see me and go, ooh, let's get in her recorder. I don't know why. I get the best EVPs, I swear to God.
I'm glad you followed that up with recorder. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a whole different show, ladies and gentlemen.
On the UFO side of things, I would like to tell you.
Yes.
I just watched the Calvin Parker episode of Netflix new docuseries, Files of the Unexplained. I haven't seen any others yet. I understand there's one with a friend of mine in there about Terry Loveless, who is a friend of mine. I need to the Devil's Den. He had an experience there. Mm-hmm. But Calvin Parker was part of the Pascagoula abduction. That was, let me see if I can figure out how long. It was long ago.
Yeah.
Well, hell no. But anyway, it was Calvin Parker and Charlie Hickson. And it was in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And I think it was in like 1970. I'm wanting to say like 73 or 74, something like that. 1973. Mm-hmm. I was right.
Okay.
Calvin and Charlie were fishing. Calvin was much younger. I think Calvin was probably 18 years old, maybe at the time. He was a kid. And then Charlie was older. like I'm a father figure almost. I believe they worked together and that's how they knew each other. But they were out fishing and they got abducted. And it was such a mass, it was such a, you know, traumatic thing. It changed Calvin forever. And I'll never forget in this documentary that they did on Netflix about mm-hmm. them. I thought it was really well done. And I thought it was really well done. I thought it captured the personalities of Calvin and Charlie. And it didn't go into a lot of depth on the actual experience, although you got the basics of what happened. And the most interesting thing to me about Calvin and Charlie's experience abduction is when they were in the police station, because they went to the police to report it, and because they were just shook up. And after the police interviewed them, he had a tape recorder like under the desk hidden where they didn't see it, and he left it running. And then he left them alone. And if there were going to be a time when they would say, okay, you know, they believe us, we need to get our story straight, so forth.
Right,
so
yeah.
But instead, what you hear is two men that were clearly distraught and shaken up. And Calvin kept saying, I thought I was going to pass out. You know, to me, that right there alone, that's all I need to know that what they said was true, what they believed they saw, that they're telling the truth. And I had the good fortune to meet both men. I met Charlie Hixon back in the 80s at a think tank in Colorado, in Aspen, Colorado. I got to meet him. And there's like this iconic photograph of me, Charlie Hixon, and Betty Hill sitting on a picnic table mm-hmm. together. And actually this photograph ended up being the cover of a MUFON journal, monthly journal. It was, and I have it, and I'm so happy I still have that. Didn't get wrecked in the tornado. But because the Pascagoula abduction is like one of the bedrocks, you know, one of the first, one of the oldest, one of the solidest cases, one of the most investigated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I met Calvin years later with Bud in Florida. Mm-hmm. He was doing Calvin was a very, of the two, Charlie was more outgoing and more talkative and more willing to talk about the experience. And he was the older one. Calvin was, I think, more traumatized, younger, and it took a lot longer for Calvin to come forward and be able to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about it, not even with his wife, Wynette.
Yeah.
Or Wynette. You know, he didn't want to even talk about it to her. So for the longest time. But once he did, you know, he talked about it a lot. And he went to, it was one time in Florida, he was trying to start a talk show thing. Bud and I were there. And I agreed to go on there and be a guest for him and talk to him. And so I met, that's where I kind of first met him. And we were almost the same age. He was a few years older than me, but not much. And so, you know, we became friends, and although we didn't speak to each other, years could go by. It's like one of those things. People that have had these experiences, I can attest to this. When you make friends with each other and you meet each other, you kind of bond. You kind of get this bond with each other. So you can go years without seeing each other. And the minute you see each other again, it's like you never missed a beat. Like it was yesterday, yeah. You know, and you're huggy and all. And the last time, and I saw Calvin several times after that at a few places, conferences, but the last time I saw him, he hadn't been out and around in conferences for some time. I saw him at Eureka Springs conference a few years back. And then I believe the last time I saw him was at the UFO Congress and it was in Phoenix, Arizona at that time, maybe like 2017. And he was a speaker there and I was on a panel. And I got a chance to spend several days hanging out with him and his wife, who's a sweetheart. And she gave me a pair of earrings with UFOs on them. I still have. And bless her heart. And got to spend some time with Calvin. His health was not good even then. And he told me he didn't think he had long, you know, but that's just the way Calvin would say things like that. You know what I mean? But he had a lot of health problems. Wayne had told me that he had a lot of health problems. She was worried about him. And sure enough, I began August of 2023, he did pass away with kidney cancer. Yeah, bless his heart. But he, you know, he never wavered from his story. It never changed, you know. And he continued just to have a life, try to have a life and be a good guy and have a life with his wife, you know. That they did, I thought they did a really good job with that. So if you ever have any time and you get a chance to check that out, that they, I think the whole series is probably going to be pretty good. That I've just seen that one.
Yeah.
And
shoot me the link on that because I have a lot of time during the day.
Yeah.
I can't 100% pay attention to it, but I can have it on in the background and glance, you know, but I'll check that out.
And like I said, I want to watch, everybody's like, have you seen Terry Lovelace's story on that? They did an episode on him too. And I have not, and I'm going to, you know, I had to go do some stuff the last few days that I'll be able to talk to later on down the road, hopefully. But, So I've been really, you know, hit the deck running for the last, probably getting ready for this trip and everything, getting ready to go on this trip. You know, for the last week, it's been a whirlwind, so I haven't had a chance to do hardly anything.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can accept that as an excuse, though. I mean.
You don't have to. What you going to do about it?
Deb's like, hey. I can't really flip it up, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. You just go on about your business.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I watched, I asked you about the Hill story. I'm going to check that out. And
yeah. I think it's called Interrupted Journey.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I was really taken aback with the way Jack Osborne. That ghost box he has, I want.
Oh, my God. Hell, he can buy anything he wants. He can buy the best of everything. You know, I would die. I would love to go on an investigation with him. It would be so much fun.
Right?
And he has the coolest toys.
Yeah, he does. He did. He did.
And he's got a pretty cool dad, you know?
Well, I mean, the Prince of Darkness, what can you say?
I mean, Jesus Christ. You know,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, that their house in England wasn't haunted.
Right.
I mean, with all the crazy things that Ozzy has done and been involved with in the past and toying around that macabre genre, man, he's got to have something. And I think that's why he is more acceptable, I think, and I perceive that as well, that he's more accepting of versus Sharon with believing that there's something more. Like they went to Virginia City, Nevada, and did the Warsaw Club and a old it's a museum now, but it used to be like a hotel, or not a hotel, I mean, I don't know, whatever. It was a cool ass house is what it was. And if I was rich, I'd buy it. It's really well done and put together. And Ozzy sent him on it. He's like, hey, I got this place. Sent him a bunch of YouTube videos on it. And
Ozzy did?
So they went, yeah. So the Jack
good on him.
Watched all of his videos the dad sent him and took their asses out to Nevada. I was like, man, that's cool. And then the only thing is, right on. Thanks for sending that. Sharon. See, I'm having a hard time with the hair. I'll drink too. Oh, look at that. Look at that cup. Oh my gosh. Oh.
I want one.
I'll get you one. I'll make you one. Okay. I'm on it. I got this figured out.
And you got this figured out,
right? So what kind of made me, what's pissing me off is that you're getting these overinflated stories where, you know, I was walking down the hallway going to the bathroom because something woke me up at 3 a.m. and I got up out of bed and I look up and there's a faceless woman standing in front of me. Or, you know, Sharon got out to wherever they were investigating, like on the first episode of.
Oh, yeah. And she like
passed out.
Had to go to the emergency room. I remember that.
I'm like,
what was that? Did you just freeze on me?
No.
You just froze on me, or did you just freeze your?
I just froze. Okay. I was showing my dismay.
Yeah, I thought, what the hell? Was that like acting or?
Acting. That was 100% acting. I have never had claims of, and I'm trying to think back so I don't make myself look dumb. But I don't ever remember having of the private investigations that we have done, anyone saying that I saw a full bodied apparition and it scared me or it touched me or it choked me or body slammed me or whatever. I've never been able to substantiate those claims of paranormal activity on any investigation that I've ever been on. So I'm thinking, well, what's the effing problem? You know, is it that you're just batshit crazy and you're imagining this or are you seeing it and it's not wanting to come out and play? I mean, I've been to locations more than once of claims of like, you know, things of this nature and I've never seen it. I've never experienced it. I've never had any video evidence. Now, audio evidence is 100% different. And if you don't know, you ought to know. Is that audio evidence is a whole lot different than video.
Slightly.
I mean, bar the obvious, you know, because one's sound and one's picture. But I can better substantiate a haunt with the EVPs than I have been ever able to with video. And I know I ran off on a tangent. I've been soapboxing my ass off all day today. I don't know why. But I just, I don't,
are you hangry?
No. I think it's because it's hot up in here and I'm just angry.
That would do it.
You know, my bullshit-o-meter is.
You're having an appliance month like I had a few months ago with all the things.
Yeah, I wish you would take your bad appliance juju back.
I'm so sorry.
You put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I had to pay for a whole new damn kitchen floor, too.
Shoot. Yeah, I know, man. That was messed up.
That was messed up.
But yeah, I mean.
Or cash, damn it.
I know. I got insurance on the damn thing. I still can't get nobody to come out here and fix it. But anyway, I digress. I'm digressing. So, but to watch like some of these shows, I guess let me get back on track here. Let me get back on the on-ramp onto the highway. A lot of these shows where these claims like on Haunted Nation, where the TAPS guys are going in and doing these investigations and trying to figure out what kind of what's going on. But the claims of activity are like so over the top for me that you know, TAPS is not going to come into your house and find a full body apparition. Now, I will say they have one compelling piece of evidence where they've got a shadow walking in front of a door that starts off as a black mist. And then once it gets to the far side of the door turns in, you can see the head and the collar and the torso as it goes behind the second door. But I don't know, man. It's bothering me that every story you hear is that, you know, I saw a full bodied apparition and it's choking me and it's holding me down. And
well, I see if I got from friends in high places, maybe I can send one of them over. They can choke you and hold you down and make you feel better. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not that type of show, Deb.
Shut up.
Yeah. I don't know. It frustrates me because I hate that. I hate seeing that. Just let me go in and investigate. Let me get my evidence and I'll tell you what I find before you tell me there's, you know, Ichabod Crane standing at the end of your hallway with a, you know, the Grim Reaper and his sickle. But yeah, I told you earlier I watched I'm knocking stuff off my desk. Help me out, Deb. Who is the guy? The documentary that I watched today that I told you about. What's his name? Are you frozen? Or are you just sitting there looking at me crazy? Oh no, Deb is frozen. Deb, do you want to build a snowman? I told her she froze. But yeah, and I watched the documentary. It's like one of the first of the abductions. Yeah, she dropped. She'll be back in a second. First report of abductions is back in the 70s. And the guy was taken. They were on a woodworking crew, and they were out in the woods coming home from doing the job and saw something look like the moon, they said, shining through the trees. And the only thing was that the tree was on the other side of the truck. He got hit with all kinds of like light and whatnot in his chest and all that business. And the cops thought that that his buddies had killed him. And it was not the fact, but he was gone 5 days. They said he lost like 10 pounds. He was dehydrated, malnourished. And they didn't tell anybody that they had actually found him after they found him for a while, because he didn't want to tell the cops what happened because he didn't know.
I'm back.
Hey, welcome back. Sorry. Welcome back.
I don't know what the hell happened. I mean, I looked up and it was like, bzzz. That happened the last time I was, I don't know what's going on with my internet or me or whatever. Normally my internet is really stable and the weather's not funky here. Like, you know.
Yeah. When was the last time you rebooted your router?
Dave is in charge of all that. I don't touch none of it.
Need to reboot your router, I think, too.
Probably. Because that happened to me last time I was doing something like this. I was recording with the Voices of Contact and it kept telling me your internet's unstable. I told Dave, and he's like, there's nothing wrong with the internet. I'm like, fine, shut up. So
there's nothing wrong with the internet, but it's telling me right there. No,
you know what? It's nothing wrong with his internet. He can get online and doesn't have any problems. So he doesn't give a shit
about mine. Right. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, you know, I'm going to go in there and sneak in and unplug all that shit and then plug it back in and make it reboot. Everything, but I don't
care. Wait about 15 seconds before you plug it back in.
Yeah.
That should reset everything.
So I apologize, you guys in the chat room. I'm sorry. I'm back. Woo! I take it you were talking about Travis Walton.
Yeah, Travis Walton. But
that's been around as a long that's case.
Still, yeah. I mean, that was 73, 74.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, God damn, that's Elvis and John Wayne were still alive. So was I.
So was I.
Whatever. Yeah, but it was a compelling story, especially, you know, I told the story.
Did you see Fire in the Sky or did you see?
No.
You saw that. Okay, good. Because Fire in the Sky, I mean, it was okay, but it was, Travis had issues with some of the scenes in it, you know?
Well, so yeah, but I mean,
license on things and they think they got to jazz it up. I mean, come on. How much jazzier can you get than an alien death? And why you got to make it even crazier? You know, The truth is the thing.
Yeah, the thing was, I met you long before I watched the docuseries.
Yeah.
You know, and to watch that and know actually what happened versus what they were showing. I mean, I'm old enough and wise enough to know that Hollywood will embellish everything, but it wasn't the right story, knowing you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's the same way with Travis, is that, and like, you know, it was, and his story never failed. I mean, like John in the chat, he's like, I believe the case because it's been years and his story has never changed. Mm-hmm. And I found that, I'll even put that up in there. Right on, brother. I found that, like, when I first met Deb,
1,000 years ago,
it's been almost, we're pushing almost 20 now, I think. I close know. To.
Yeah, because I was in my 40s, I'm sure, when I met you guys.
Yeah, and
I'm not now.
We were at Hannah House in Indianapolis. Oh, by the way, the Hannah House is doing their Paracon now.
Oh, they are? I thought they were not going to do that anymore.
The owner guy shut it down, and I think everybody complained and petitioned, and now they're doing it. It's going to be in August, so you'll have to come down because we're going to come up.
Yeah.
But that's where I first heard Deb's story. I hadn't met her for 3 minutes, and you know, hi Greg, hi your Deb. Hey, so yeah, I'm an abductee, and here's my story, and I'm like, holy shit. What? And it was never, you know, it was never like, okay, she's wackadoodle, man. Get the hell away from her. It was like,
but you say that now.
You are wackadoodle now that I know, but back then you were okay.
Yeah.
But it, and your story never wavers. I mean,
it's easy to tell the story. You know, when you're telling the truth, it's easy to remember what the story is. You know,
right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I felt that way about the Travis story. And this is the one where they've actually did live interviews with him and his wife and his brother. And there's two guys on the crew. One that they suspected the murder, and the other one was a foreman that had passed away since. They talked to everybody, and everybody's story was the same. Everybody's, you know, Travis's outcome. This is what happened to me. And he went on and he was debating, I think it was some professor that Larry King had brought on and then had Travis on to argue his case. And they were going back at it, and Travis was giving him shit. And I was just like, yeah, okay, bro. But yeah, I mean, it never failed. What'd you say here, bro? Jivy, I listened to a bunch of podcasts and he's told the story repeatedly. It's always the same. And he was even on Joe Rogan and told the story. I did not see him on Joe Rogan. I'll have to look that up though, because I can only imagine how Joe Rogan reacted to that. He's big, I think, into the paranormal and ufology field. Joe Rogan? I think he has a like a Dan Aykroyd instance or interest in it.
Yeah, I thought he was interested in it. I don't follow him very, you know, regularly or anything like that. But I've heard other people that have been on his show that were, you know, UFO related people and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I'll are tell you making? What, nothing. I'm just tearing a piece of paper out and throwing some stuff away I don't need.
You're making spitballs.
Yeah. Where I was this week earlier, they showed me a video clip of myself when I was, I think, 24, and I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
You were?
Yeah. This was before. No, you were. Yes, I was. And you can even find it on YouTube somewhere, I think, the clip. But what it was, I guess, Bud had a compilation, like CD or video cartridge or whatever, of all the shows that I'd ever appeared on. In conjunction with him and with the intruders, when, you know, because back in the day, when you wrote a book, your publisher sent you on a book tour or a junket, and you would press junket. You'd go do all kinds of television and radio shows. I was on big radio stations in Boston and all that crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, print, newspaper articles, magazine articles. You know, I think I was in People magazine one with Bud. I think there's somewhere like that. There's one, a copy of that somewhere, I think. But it's been so long, I don't remember. But they showed me this video and I had forgotten all about it. It was when Oprah was still, it was, her show was called AM Chicago with Oprah Winfrey. She wasn't even national yet.
Right,
she was still, she was still a local television show, right?
You're right.
And Bud was on there to promote the book Intruders. And he brought me, and he brought our next door neighbor, Mom and Dad's next door neighbor, which was one of the independent witnesses to that night, right? Her name was Kathleen, Kathy something, I think. Anyway, and when I saw her, I'm like, oh my God, that's a neighbor. I hadn't seen her in 35 years. But
yeah.
When I saw myself on that video, first of all, I was 24, I think, or 25. Well, I was 100 pounds heavier. Mm-hmm. I was so bashful and timid. I had my hair was short like it is now. I've always had short hair because it's so fine, but it was red, like, you know, like sassy
firecracker red.
Yeah, firecracker red hair. But I was very timid, and my voice was kind of soft spoken, and you could hear my Hoosier Southern accent much more than you can now.
Yeah.
You know? And I was so glimpsed. I mean, I could feel my own anxiety all over again, watching myself. And she asked me questions and I'd be like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't really know for sure. And I'm like, God damn, I can't believe that's me. I'm such a mouthy old heifer now. I just say,
right, yeah, yeah.
But it's like, I couldn't believe how young and timid and bashful I was. And that just goes mm-hmm. to show you, you know, when I tell you that I went out there that night and walked around with a shotgun and it was very out of character for me.
Yeah.
You can tell by looking at me and hearing me talk how out of character for me it would have been. Now, right. I don't, you know, give me that shotgun. I'm gonna go out there and whoop somebody's ass. But, you know, that I was just a kid. So I mean, Jane's gonna look it up.
Yep.
No, I'm telling you, it.
Send me the link, John.
I was kind of embarrassed to. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. First of all, I was like, oh my God, look how fat I was. Of course, you know, because that's what a woman automatically does. But beyond that, it's like I was so timid and bashful, and I could see how afraid and anxious I was. And
yeah.
And also, I had a suit jacket on, you know, because that's what you did when you were on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Fuck Oprah. Go on a sweatsuit. Be like an Adidas tracksuit. Dude,
I remember that suit. As soon as they turned on the lights, it got hot as hammer hell on that stage. And I was sweating bullets. And I kept thinking, I think I'm going to pass out. And in between.
Oh, my God.
When we broke for a commercial, when we took a break for commercials, she's like, are you doing okay? She's so nice to me. She was so kind, so supportive. I mean, she didn't ridicule me or laugh. She wouldn't have any of the audience member laugh at me. Everybody was very serious and very kind to me. I mean, I think they could probably all tell if I could see it. Everybody could all tell how scared I was to be up there. She even liked to me, well, you know, backstage, you know, you're so brave. It's so brave of you to do this. And I really appreciate you coming up here and talking. And, you know, I mean, she was really kind. Really
and now nice. She's burning down houses in Hawaii.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know about that. You know, I was on.
Yeah, whatever.
Dude, I was on the Danny Bonaducci show. Okay.
What?
Danny Bonaducci had a talk show. No, she didn't ridicule me. Danny Bonaducci used to have a daytime talk show. Yes, sir.
I don't remember that shit.
He sure in the hell did. And I was
how did Danny Bonaducci have time to do anything but take pills, drink, and go see hookers?
Hell, I have no idea, but he damn sure did. I think it was in the late 90s, maybe. Really? Or sometime in the 90s. Google it. Get on the Googles. You'll Danny Bonaducci show. Anyway, for real. There was a bunch of people on there. People like me who'd seen weird shit. And then there was debunkers. And I think Bud might have been on there. If he wasn't on there, he was for sure backstage. But
yeah.
Anyways, during a break, of course, Danny smoked, right?
Of course, yeah.
And I smoked back then. I was the only one. I was the only other one in the whole studio that smoked. And Danny's like, I'm going to go have a cigarette. And I asked the producer, is there somewhere I can have a cigarette? You know, and I was like that timid kid, not quite as bad.
Well, he's on the freaking Partridge Family for crying out loud. You know
what? He said, come here, come with me. And he grabs my arm and he takes me back to this little corner backstage where they let him smoke. Right.
Yeah.
And he gives me a cigarette. So here I'm smoking a cigarette with Danny Bonaducci. And he says, are you doing okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm nervous. And he goes, you know what? He says, I don't know about that debunker guy. I can't remember the name of it now. He said, I'll tell you what, of all the people on that stage, you're the only one I believe. I'm like, oh, thank you. I didn't know what to say. I'm like, damn. you know? Yeah, he sure did. He was nice to me. Mm-hmm. You know, he was nice to me. I didn't have any problems. Maury Povich. I was on Maury Povich show. He was nice to me.
You're on Maury. No, come on. Yes, you didn't have nobody to prove no DNA to.
No. This was before before his show became nothing but baby daddies and DNA. He used to do shows on other stuff too. Yeah.
Oh, he did. His wife, mm-hmm. Connie Chung too. I remember them.
Yeah. So
yeah.
But
so Danny, what did Maury Povich have to say?
I am not the father. That's what he said. No, he was nice. He was kind. They just always they want me to tell them the story of what happened that night. You know, it always centers around intruders because obviously it's the book that's the reason Bud is there. The reason I'm there. And the reason Intruders was written was because of June 30, 83. So that's what I always, you know, people ask me about it. It's the story I tell them, you know, I tell them about that night. And I told him about that night and he seemed genuinely interested. You know, he's very interested in the fact that there was evidence, not just my story, but mom was there. We had independent witnesses. There was a mark in the yard. My dog was injured. My eyes were injured, you know? So, you know, he's interested in it. He thought it was interesting. He didn't say whether he believed it or not. And I wouldn't expect him to, but he was at least, he was courteous to and listened anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of what he might have thought personally, he wasn't rude or anything. So that was, I appreciated that. That kindness has always appreciated.
Yeah.
Because like I was just saying a few days ago to some people, you know, it's okay for you not to believe what I tell you. I don't care whether you do or not. I'm not here to tell you or try to make you believe anything. I'm telling you my story. You can either believe me or not. That's up to you. And I after 40 years of being in the public and telling it, I've come to realize that some people are more comfortable calling me crazy in public or thinking that I'm crazy than they are feeling the fear that they apparently feel when they think that there's absolutely some possibility that this could even remotely be real. So if it's easier for you to think I'm crazy than it is for you to feel your own fear, then go ahead. That's okay. Do what you got to do.
Right. And yeah, I feel that, but what if I think you're crazy, but not because of your experience?
That's fine.
Okay. It's just, sometimes, you know, I just wanted to...
Hey, look, see my shirt in the back. Yeah, I saw that. The back of it says official chicken thrower.
What the hell?
You think I'm crazy? Everyone thinks I'm crazy, damn it. Look. You see it?
Official chicken thrower. Yes, holy crap.
Svengoolie, he's the rubber chicken guy, you know?
Yeah.
You remember did you get a new chair? Yeah, I did get a new chair. Do you like it?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's nice. It's a Serta.
It's certainly soft.
Yeah, it's for my butt and my hips. You know, I got them old lady hips. But
do I remember whom?
Sammy Terry.
Yes, I do remember Sammy Terry. Well, I met him.
Then Gooley is the Berwyn version of Sammy Terry. You know, up in Michigan, Berwyn.
See, I watched Svengoolie a couple times.
I love
Sammy Terry was my go-to. If you're from Indianapolis or the surrounding cities, Sammy Terry was the shit that you watched every Friday night his B-rated horror movies. Yeah. His laugh and his little Spider George and he had a mummy compatriot, didn't he? Or was it just George?
No, he had. I remember George, but I think every now and then there was some mummy thing later on. Yeah, I remember when I was a little kid, my parents used to drag me and my brother, my little brother and sister, over to my aunt Bert and Uncle Jim's and the grown-ups played poker and drank beer and smoked cigarettes on a Friday or Saturday night. And they'd line all of us little kids up, me and my brother and sister and my cousins, all up in front of the TV with blankets and popcorn and whatnot. And we'd all watch Sammy Terry and get the piss scared out of us while the grown-ups played poker, you know, Friday night. Good memories. But the thing I like about Svengoolie, and he's kind of along the same vein, you know.
Right.
But he is like the king of B horror movie trivia. Any kind of trivia. Oh my, because on commercial breaks and breaks in the movie, you'll learn all about the actors in the movie, other things they'd played in, all kinds of little trivia about the actors or about the movie itself. I mean, the guy is like a cornucopia of useless knowledge about B movies, and I love it. Right. And he goes to all these comic cons and things like that, and they'll do remotes with him there, and they'll show clips of it. He's got some shtick he does with a rubber chicken. That's why it's his official chicken thrower on the back of my shirt. I went to Michigan last fall and spoke at a conference whip in Houghton Lake. I don't know. I'm saying it wrong. And they're all
you know, them Northerners would be Houghton Lake.
It might be that. I don't know. But when I landed in Detroit, I thought, it would be so awesome if I ran into Svengoolie in the, you know, in the
was he there? Airport.
No, I was just hoping and wishing. But I love that kind of stuff, and I especially like him because of all the little extra tidbits of knowledge that he has.
Right, cool. But I mean that kind of genre stick is what we grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was Sammy Terry every Friday night, no matter what time of the year, Christmas time and Friday nights, you was watching Sammy Terry.
Yeah.
You know, and he sounds like he's the same. And I'm sure every city has their version of these characters doing their thing. And if not, they should.
Yeah. I've seen probably every old sci-fi classic ever, mm-hmm. you know, at this point in my life. My favorite will always be The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Barack two.
Clock two. Smack your butter.
I can't remember what they say to.
Right.
That's my favorite one. That's one of my favorite ones. Of course, War of the Worlds. That scared the ever-loving shit out of me.
That scared the ever-loving shit out of everybody. But that was when it first broke out, when the fat actor with the beard. Who was it? What was his name? Did it a live broadcast on NBC.
Orson Welles. Yeah.
He did. Was it the Day the Earth Stood Still that he did that broadcast that freaked everybody out?
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Okay.
Yeah, it was War of the Worlds. When he, you know, people thought allegedly. Now I don't. I've heard some. People were say that, you know, it wasn't all that big a deal, but he said that it was done so realistically that people that turned the radio on and didn't catch the beginning of the show where Orson tells about it, they thought it was actual. They actually thought it was happening, that it was news, you know, and people like flipped the hell out. Yeah, he did. Jay's right. He scared the piss out of the entire country.
Right. I'm trying to think what classic sci-fi or horror thing. I mean, I was always into the classics. So Dracula, Christopher Lee, Bela Lugosi, werewolf,
Frankenstein,
the mummy. Right. You know, and
the Invisible Man. That was a good one.
Invisible Man was good.
Yeah.
But like the Attack of the Giant Ant or the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Yes.
Shit like that. And that's the stuff that our guy, Sammy Terry, would show. I'm sure Finguli does as well. But yeah. I met Sammy Terry. I was working at an Osco drugstore on 38th and High School Road on the west side of Indianapolis as a teenager.
Really?
And this was before the original Sammy died, but they came out around Halloween and did a live from our parking lot. So I got to meet him and talk to him, you know, and this is a cool cat, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Yeah, that one too.
That's classic.
But then when he did pass away, his son took up the moniker and
Sounds like his dad, too.
He sounds and looks just like his old man.
Yeah, he does a good job of it. I bet he has a lot of fun, too. He probably has a lot of memories like we do. He's probably on the set, you know?
Right, for real. So what other talk shows did you go on that you told your story?
I was on the Dini Petty show. Oh, my God, that was... Dini Petty is in Canada. She's like the Canadian version of the Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
It was nationwide at that point already. She was really nice too. But I'll tell you what, when I went to Canada, and that was the first time I ever traveled out of the country, and I was by myself.
Right.
Well, I met Bud in Canada. He traveled from New York and I traveled from Indianapolis. And then we met in Canada, you know, we were staying at the same hotel and everything. And he was on the show with me and the show went fine. And getting into Canada was no problem. I had to go through customs, you know, answer a couple questions. Why are you here? I said, I'm coming to do a show. Oh, what show are you coming to do? And I said, Dini Petty. And they're like, okay, bye. You know, no problem. But coming back to my own country, and this was back in the early 2000s. What a bunch of assholes. I went to customs, you know, I'm an American citizen. I did not have a passport because at that time you did not have to have a passport to go to Canada. All you had to have was your birth certificate, your ID, right? I had all that. No problem. And I got into Canada with no problem, no problem.
Right, yeah.
Coming back to my own country, they gave me the third degree, right? Questions. Then they took me out of the line for customs and they set me down at a table with some other guy, dude, right? I was freaking out because I'm like, they're not even going to let me back in my own country. And then he asked me a million questions about the United States. Some of them I could answer, but I was a girl. How would I know who won the Super Bowl in 1996?
Right.
I didn't know. Because I don't care about stuff like that. I didn't care about shit like that, right? So some of those questions I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
And then finally... they had to be yanking my chain really hard and having fun with me or something. I have no idea why unless somebody saw me on the show and thought they were going to mess with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he says, who is Alfred E. Newman? Well, I just happen to know that because I'm the queen of nerds. And I have had every Mad magazine that was ever published, right? And I said, he's the dude on the cover of Mad magazine every week. And the guy looked at me kind of funny and he cocked his head and he said, okay, you can go. And I'm like, what the?
Why didn't you just ask me that shit at the beginning so we could
what the hell was this? Yeah. So then they gave me my stuff and my bags and they let me pass through. But you know, that was almost an hour of that bullshit. And I almost missed my flight. And I was my anxiety level was so high that by the time I was finally passed through customs or whatever they call it, I was in tears.
Really?
Yes. So I don't know about you, Canada. You kind of pissed me off.
Well, no, it was the U.S. at the border.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, U.S. Maybe I'll go to Canada and stay. I don't know.
No, nobody wants that cold smoke.
I like cold. I'm built.
You're mental, but we've established that.
Dude, I would rather live in the mountains of Alaska or Canada than on a beach. I don't like the ocean. I won't get in over my toes. I don't like being hot. I love snow. What else is there to say? Shut up.
There's an 8x8 rubber room that has your name written all over it because no sane person in the world would say that shit.
It must be my Viking Norwegian DNA. It's all I can say.
It's got to be something crazy like that because I would rather have sand and beach and.
Nope. I like to listen to the ocean waves, but that's it.
Yeah.
I've never been a beach girl.
See, I can't do snow. I can't do cold. I can't. And I don't know if it's an extension of my father. When he was in the service, he was stationed in Thule, Greenland.
Haha, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, well, he's mental too. But he was stationed up in Greenland at a listening base.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, cold and I mean, he's still, it's like when you listen to the story of the 501st Easy Company out of when they were alive and we'd talk about the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
And how cold it was and how just terrible the whole thing was. I had stories like that from my old man. I think it kind of carried over into my psyche that, yeah, we don't want any of that cold BS.
I love it. I love the cold. I mean, because I can always put on coats and bundle up and be warm. To me, there's nothing better than curling up on a couch with my blanket, my dogs, a big hot cup of cocoa or a hot cup of coffee in front of a big fireplace. Big picture window where I can see the beautiful snowflakes just wafting down from above. I love it. I like to listen to the ocean, but I will never, I don't swim in water that doesn't have chlorine in it. Sorry.
Can't. Why?
Because I don't want that shit in my.
Oh, come on.
You know what? I'm not swimming in something that is full of dead bodies and fish poop and something in there that might eat me. No. I don't have that desire.
Okay. I mean,
hey, look, I used to have a friend that was a metal detector. And one time when I was in Florida, we used to get up in the morning and walk on the beach at sunrise. And that's beautiful. I love that. That's fine. I won't get in the water. And it's nice and cool. But exactly, Jay. But he had a metal detector. And when the tide was out, we'd go metal detecting. Do you know what he found more than anything else? And he had shoeboxes and shoeboxes full of these because he did it for years.
Fingers?
Cremation tags.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the metal tags they put in the cremains so that you can identify the ashes.
Cremate me and throw me in the ocean.
Because people dump that shit in the ocean. And then you know
that is technically illegal.
Well, people do it because he's got like 10,000 of them, you know?
Oh yeah. I don't doubt that at all.
I just have no desire. That and the fact that I don't want to get stung by stingrays or bit by shark or step on a stingray or no thanks or step on a jellyfish.
Yeah.
I'm not going to swim in their house and just like I'm not going to let them be in my house. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, I can respect that, but you know, I'd go in the ocean. I've been in the ocean.
Nope. I don't even like getting in lakes.
I got caught in a lake.
I can swim like a fish, but only in chlorinated water.
Yeah. I don't like, I mean, with the ocean, depending on where you are, you can see beneath you. Lake water.
Worse.
Lakes, I have no time for because you can't see anything. So you're swimming and a snapping turtle decides that your toe looks like a worm and wants to eat it. And you're minus a toe. Or, I mean,
horror movies to get in.
There was a little girl. I just watched a video on a short video on YouTube and a dad and daughters were out doing some fishing. They're spending some quality dad time. Right. And the little girl caught something. And they're reeling it in, it seemed like for flipping ever. and they finally get it, it was like a 2 foot long baby shark. And this was in London and in England somewhere in a lake.
In the Thames, maybe?
Or not a lake, a river. But I don't think it was the Thames. But how do you just catch a freaking shark? I've only seen that, and I saw that one time in Florida when we were there. Somebody was out fishing on the early morning off of the shoreline and pulled in a black tip. It was about two and a half foot long. And then we were out in the water when they were making a big fuss about it. Got it. And it...
Killer.
Yep. And we're still in the water, and then somebody saw its mama, and it was a 4 foot long black tip right out there. So we got out of the water and went to the pool. But I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me as long as I can see.
So what do you and Bips got up your sleeves for the future? You got anything coming up?
Oh, don't act like we're trying to get back on track on nothing.
No, we're I'm trying to get back on track.
back on track. Well, we had an investigation set up for next weekend, but the guy called and apparently he's having some physical issues and is unable to have us out, which, you know, he'll never see this, but I hope you don't die. I think we're going to get together and do equipment training in place of the investigation. We're working on going out to a place called the Rickenbaugh House. It's on a national park reserve, and it's kind of like they have the house, and the story is of the lady in black around this lake kind of deal. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we might go check that out. Then we got working towards getting everybody to the Rhodes Hotel on the beginning of June or July. I can't remember. I think it's June, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's June. Yeah. I'm going to be there. Woo!
Yep. Deb's coming to that one.
Are we going to live stream that?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep. Hopefully tomorrow I'm going to work on trying to get us a solution to where we can live stream from the DVR directly to to YouTube and Facebook Live. So you guys can check us out there. It's bipspara.org, or you can look us up on Facebook. I think Jay, John, you're part of the Boonville team, and I know you are too, Deb. That's where they stream it live on Facebook. But I'm working on getting it to YouTube. They have a YouTube page. It's youtube.com/ at Boonville, Indiana Paranormal SOCI, because it's not long enough to put society in there too. But they will live stream there and on YouTube, hopefully after tomorrow. Then we've been talking about different places that we're kind of interested in going. I know we talked about the Belisca House and wanting to go up there. I think we're still kind of on the fence about the Asher Walton. I think we need to, we'll talk about that some more. What else? There's been a couple places. We want to go to Indiana Sanatorium in Rockport. Yeah. So right off 36, I think, if I remember my Indy West Side.
Yeah, I think that's out that way.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're looking at the Belisca House as well in Iowa. So when we go there, Jen, I'll let you know so you can come too.
And we've got to get with Forrest, because we got to do some stuff with Forrest Crawford over in Illinois. It's close to you. Hell, he's closer to you than I am. So,
yep. So yeah, I do want to get there. Yeah. The Belisca House, the Belisca Axe Murder House. Yeah, definitely, bro. We're definitely going to do that. We have to get, put all of our resources together to make it that way when everybody can get off at the same time. The logistics. Looking at Mansfield again. So you'll have to come to that. Deb's going to come to Valeska. And
Greg's going to pick me up because he doesn't want me to drive.
You know, unfortunately, you're not wrong.
I'll give you gas money.
I mean, and not even just as long as you don't drive and I'm not in the car with you when you're driving. But I mean, there's a lot of things that the team, we're moving forward on a lot of things. And it's going to be a good year, I think, for Bips. We're bringing our full ride game to the table. We're doing episodes of investigations. I've got episode 4, 5, and 6 that I'm putting out for the Cherry Street first investigation. Then I'm probably going to have another playlist for the Cherry Street second investigation. That'll probably be a 9-video playlist. They're about 25, 30 minutes long. Live video investigations. I'm planning on trying to put an event together in 2025, and there'll be more to come on that. But I'll extend invitations out to everybody that I know and everybody I don't know, and I will pimp that whole thing out, but more information to come on that. BipsParanormal.org is the website for Boonville Indiana Paranormal Society. Go out there. You can reach out to us all directly. We'll have, and it's under construction right now, but there'll be an About Us page where you can learn all about the investigators. We're going to have an equipments page where you'll learn about all the equipment. We're going to have a, I don't want to call it a vlog page, but it's going to be things about paranormal page where there'll be different stories on different topics of the paranormal. And it'll be pretty good once we get it up and running, because there'll be a lot of information on that page for, let's see what else. Headshots are coming on that. And we're working towards now trying to get our act together to apply to the TAPS family organization.
Does that cost money to do?
No. It's okay. An application, but they're pretty stringent. That's why it's taking so long for me to get the website done for them. Mm-hmm. They want pictures of guys. Mm-hmm. They want bios of guys. They want equipment, philosophy, like a mission statement, more or less, on
You
investigate and your philosophy on investigations and the paranormal. And so they're pretty thorough. So it's going to be pretty cool once we get to that status and we can put that on the website. But
now you've been working on a couple pieces of equipment, and I'm curious to know how that's coming.
I have been, and I am going to be putting together a homemade REM pod either tomorrow or Saturday morning. And it looks pretty easy, but I don't like the case that it's in. Hold on, I'll show it to you guys. It's on my messy ass desk, but hold on a second. So, where the hell's the camera? This is the device.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it just takes a 9-volt battery. And what you do, you unscrew it off the back, and then you manipulate some of the wires on the inside, and then put an LED light on the side front and an antenna. Mm-hmm. And it's a REM pod. It does the exact same thing that a REM pod that you pay, you know, $200 for from whatever shop. I paid, overall, I've got about $8 into this whole project.
Hey, my son has a 3D printer. You know, all I need is some schematics and.
Right. And that's what we were talking about, is I don't like the look of this for REM pod. I want it to be, you know,
like a REM pod,
a regular REM pod.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more. Another alternative for making these that uses a Theremin board.
Oh gosh. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
The board is like 2 inches wide by 2 inches long. Mm-hmm. And it has all the chips that you have to solder into the board.
Yep.
And you can put different lights, so different LEDs instead of just like one LED that you would have with this. You can add a temperature sensor. So all the functions that a regular REM pod has, if you were to buy it from the store, you can build with this Theremin board and speaker the same thing. And it's about a $40 purchase for all the parts.
Yeah, but look how expensive a REM pod is.
Agreed. And I think that's totally doable.
Yeah.
And then, hold on, I must quench my thirst for a minute.
With your Bips cup.
Wait.
NPR cup.
I don't know, man. But I'm working on trying to manufacture a music box. And I think that I am there.
Yeah.
I think I know exactly what we need. I've got the parts already in my my paranormal wish list on Amazon. It's about a $50 investment, but the soundboard is motion detection. And it's light detection. I digress. It's light detection. So a light would make the music board go off. To get around that, to use it as a motion sensor, is you buy an extra motion sensor and then you solder the wires together to the music box or the music board and the battery pack, and then you connect it to an LED light from the sensor board. Then it triggers a light on the inside of your box and makes the audio portion of the motion detector go off. So, and the cool thing about the board that I got, because somebody was telling me that they wanted one from the Nightmare on Christmas.
Who would that somebody be?
That would be you. Yeah. So you can download all of the MP3s that you want.
Cool.
I'm sure it has a bank, like a 32 gig bank on it, memory that you could load different tones on or whatever. So that's what we're working on that. It's going to be so interesting.
And I hope that you guys, when you get these things made, that you'll make a page on there for how to do these kinds of things. Cause you know, this stuff is expensive and this is an expensive love, an expensive hobby. It takes money and we don't charge people for what we do when we help them out. And, you know, not everybody, not every group can afford these fancy and expensive pieces of equipment. So it's a lot more economical to make your own. And I'm always about helping other groups to be able to figure out how to get the equipment and the tools they need, you know? So that'd be a good add on. What in the hell are you doing?
I was reading what John would put in there. He's going to Estes Park.
I
agree with you. I mean, $50 for this music box setup versus $399. And that's the cheapest that you're going to find anything like that anywhere. And it's ridiculous, because if you can make it for $50 and if you have a step-by-step direction, and I think you're right, we need to have a how to make page on the website that will direct people into being able to do that themselves. Cause like you said, the shit's not cheap.
Not at all. And I mean, we already have to put out premium money for our audio recorders and our cameras. That's just something you can't really scoot around and make yourself. Although you can get some old cameras. I hate you. Where did you get that?
It came in today.
I hate you. No, I don't really. I'm just jelly and I want your stuff. But, you know, I mean, you can find some old cameras that you can take the filters out of and kind of make your own full spectrum camera with those.
Right.
You can get old cameras at the Goodwill and stuff like that and make it work. But, you know, for your audio and video recording and stuff, basically that's the biggest expense that you have if you're going to do that. And you really can't do this without those. So all the other little toys and add-ons and extras, the more you can make yourself, the better off you're going to be, because you still got to pay for gas to get to the where you're going, and right, everybody's got to have coffee and donuts. Heck,
you know that's right.
Heck yeah. So yeah, I think that'd be a great idea to have a how to build your own stuff page.
Right. And everybody can do it. Hell, if I could figure out how to do it by watching YouTube videos, everybody can follow along.
Yeah. It's a lot of that's not hard. I made my own shack hack.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, just snipped a few wires, pulled the back off and made a few snips.
Snipped the fourth pin off of the inside of the radio and put it back together, and it sweeps.
Yep.
Yeah. I did that too. Yeah.
So.
So the more you know.
The more you know. A little rainbow with the star glitter and sparklies. But anyway, spells.
So, all right. So we've been rambling on long enough. I think we're going to ahead and call it a show.
Yep.
Remember, you guys can go over to youtube.com/@Midwest Paratalk Radio. Check out all of our videos over there. We are also on Rumble under Midwest Paratalk Radio. We are on podcast, Apple Casts, our Apple Pod. Google Cast, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Just look for Midwest Paratalk Radio over there. Also, we're new on Podbean, so I'll be starting posting podcasts up to Podbean as well. So anywhere and everywhere you can find Deb and me, anywhere. And like I said, having a good time doing our thing. Remember, you can catch us next Thursday night, 9 East, 8 Central, here on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. You can also go over to the website, MidwestPrayerTalkRadio.com, and if you need to get a hold of us, you can just fill out the Contact Us page there. And you can also go over to DibsHome.com. That's a link on the Midwest Prayer Talk Radio site, or go directly, and you can see all the good information that she has on there, as well as being able to buy her books on the website. So... also, we're going to give a shout out to our BIPs Paranormal Guys and the website that we were talking about earlier. Go check it out at bipspara.org, and that's BIPSPARA.org. So, all right. That being said, out of beer, out of here, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.